A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The light's probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 36. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Spaced. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. So Spaced is this 1999 and 2001 Channel 4 Britcom series, which is packed with sci-fi genre references, although not strictly a genre show itself, but it's full of a geek sensibility with parodies and homages and name-dropping for a number of sci-fi TV shows and films with a very devoted cult following. And it's a bit of comedy gold, really. It's a classic series in a way already, even after such a short time. So we talked quite a lot in the last episode about the first series and the setup where the characters live in these sort of slacker lives in this house and 23 Meteor Street in London. And then we get to the second series, because it was obviously recommissioned and brought back in 2001. And it really, I think it really picks up another gear in the second series. And the references, which were already plentiful in the first series, they just go crazy with them in the second series, right from the very start. As we mentioned in the last episode, the first episode of the second series is their sort of tribute to The Matrix. So we have Daisy being pursued by two agents, very like Agent Smith from The Matrix film.
And one of them is even played by Mark Gatiss.
Yes, another British Invaders regular, Mark Gatiss from Doctor Who and The League of Gentlemen, plays the Agent Smith role, basically, and does quite a hilarious pastiche of Hugo Weaving from the Matrix movies. So it's great fun, and there's lots of stuff coming up in the second series.
They did really take the parody and the references up to the next level, where in the first season there were a lot of one-liners and a lot of things you would see in the background and little mentions of things and the odd thing that was more elaborate. In the second season, they did a whole episode that was based on The Matrix, essentially. They did this fantastic ending to an episode that was mimicking The Empire Strikes Back line for line. They did things with RoboCop and Fight Club. You know, they were doing things that were really taking these shows and building things around, doing parodies of them. And they were doing parodies of sort of typical sequences, like parodies of chase sequences or parodies of bank robbery or infiltration break-in sequences and these classic movie things that were repeated over and over. They would take these on and they were great doing them.
Yeah, they're clearly having a great time doing them, and we're having a great time watching them. It's just fantastic stuff. As it's all going on, there's also the story continuing. And in particular, I think we get this idea, which had sort of been hinted at in the first series, that the friendship between Tim and Daisy, I suppose in classical TV style, may be coming more than a friendship. And there may be hints of a romantic relationship building between them. But there's all sorts of stuff that's going to get in the way of that. They've got jobs to lose and new jobs to get. They've got other relationships between the sort of band of misfits in the house that may interfere. And there's new opportunities opening up. Things are happening with their lives and their sort of chosen careers that may get in the way.
That's right. They go through all kinds of things in that second season with new relationships and new jobs and things moving from one thing to another, and it really kept things going quite rapidly. And part of what made this work that we talked about a little bit last time is the cast chemistry that you had here, because these were generally actors who came from a comedy background doing sketch comedy, and the characters were generally ones that the actors had based on people they knew or based on certain aspects of themselves, and they built this really quick character chemistry between basically all of the major characters, the 6 of them, and that really worked well and pushed through this series from end to end. And that was part of what led to the phenomenon of Spaced, which was it becoming this internet hit with lots of discussions happening on the internet all over the place in 99 and in 2001 when it was made. There were conventions happening already very early and still things happening with it. And it really developed this type of cult following. And a lot of it was based around sci-fi fans and the sci-fi references and the pop culture references. ideas and things related to these characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we geeks love to see all this stuff and all these references, and we love to get all this Star Wars stuff. So it's great to see it up there. And as you say, it was being talked about on the internet right from, I think, when the show started in 99. And Spaced Out, this website we've mentioned, I think started at pretty much exactly at that time. There were discussions going on forums with people picking up the references, and then there were people suggesting new references and saying, well, why don't you do this film or this show or something like that, or could you get something of this in? And some of those ideas, I think, actually made it on screen for the second series. And certainly towards the end of the second series, we even got the situation that some of the actual fans from the internet appeared as sort of background extras in a restaurant scene in the penultimate episode. So the fans, you know, were obviously a part of the show and part of the show's success. I suppose we should mention while we're talking about it that there are some references within the show that some viewers might find slightly unsuitable. So there are frequent references to what we'd call soft drug use. And of course, there's with a group of 20-somethings involved in a number of relationships, there's quite a lot of references to sex throughout the show. But I think for its target audience, for the audience for Friday night on Channel 4, these references weren't a particular problem. But we should just warn you about those if you haven't come across Space before.
That's right. It has had some criticism for that. There was also, as part of this phenomenon around space, there was the Spaced America tour that happened, I believe it was all in 2008, but they went to several American cities. This is now 7 or 8 years after Series 2 aired. They went with some of the cast members, writers, and director to a few American cities and talked to people there and made a media event of it related to the U.S. Region 1 DVD release, which that DVD release was delayed quite a while because of the rights issues for the music and this sort of thing. But it turned out that Spaced got some broadcast in the U.S. and Canada, not a lot, but it got some, and also was bootlegged a great deal, it turns out, and got to be quite popular in the U.S. as well. So they actually did this promotional tour in the U.S. before releasing the U.S. DVDs, and the DVDs are out in the U.S. and Canada now.
Yes, they just had quite a big launch for it, as you say, with this big tour to launch it, didn't they?
Yes.
And talking of launching, I suppose that brings us on to the careers of Peg Stevenson, Frost and Wright, because it really catapulted them into sort of fame and success.
To whom it may concern, I'm writing to inform you of the whereabouts of your dog. Colin has been taken by a man named James Eldridge. He is a freelance vivisectionist. I cannot return your dog personally, but I can tell you that the lab site is located 11 to 13 Kettle Road, N1. Colin is being kept in Terrapin 5. The lab has a skeleton security staff of one. I hope this information is of use to you. Yours in search of justice. A friend.
Well, Simon Pegg certainly is well known for having starred in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, both of which he was involved with the writing side as well. He was also in the first season of the new Doctor Who in 2005, playing a role in an episode that took place in the far future. And he's been appearing in these big Hollywood movies now, particularly the new Star Trek movie where he's playing a young version of Scotty from the original Star Trek.
Yep, and he looks, he looks suitably amusing in the brief trailers we've seen, where we've heard his one line from the new Star Trek movie. It all looks great fun. As Paul from Cadmium 2 pointed out on our Facebook group, Simon Pegg is almost, by definition, the current British invader, because he's doing so well in Hollywood, and it all sort of kicked off with Spaced, really.
That's right.
And then we've got Nick Frost. Quite amazingly, this was Nick Frost's first acting role in Spaced. This was his first work at all, and his background was that he was literally Simon Pegg's best friend from childhood, and much of the stuff we see in Spaced was based on their own relationship and the fact that they'd shared a flat, and that Nick Frost had sort of worked up this comedy character who was a, you know, military obsessed chap who was in the Territorial Army. And if you watch the skip to the end documentary on the DVD set, you'll see that when Simon Pegg suggested Nick for the part of Mike in Spaced, that the director Edgar Wright was a bit unsure. He said, you know, do you think this is a good idea? He's never acted before. But actually, he turned out to be just perfect for the part.
He pulled it off perfectly, yeah.
Yes, he did, yes. And he's gone on himself to appear as the Ed character in Shaun of the Dead, and he's in Hot Fuzz. And he then went on to a British TV science fiction comedy series called Hyperdrive, which I think has had two series now, and we may eventually get around to talking about on British Invaders. And he's shortly to be seen again on our screens in a new film called Paul, which he's writing and starring in again with Simon Pegg. And then he will be again in the next year or two. He will appear in the third of the sort of series of films that he's making with Pegg and Wright.
Now, Edgar Wright, who was the director on Spaced, has continued to work with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg as this team where Edgar Wright is the director and the other guys are writing and acting. So Edgar Wright directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and is going on to direct The World's End. And those three, all of which involve Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, those are referred to as the Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy. I don't know where it comes from, but I love the name, the Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy.
Do you have Cornetto ice creams in Canada, Brian?
We may, I don't know.
Right. Well, the ice cream is a reference to the Cornetto ice cream, which is consumed in both Shaun of the Dead and in Hot Fuzz.
Of course.
And presumably the blood is, because there's plenty of blood usually.
Yes, especially in Shaun of the Dead. And Edgar Wright is also directing a film version of Ant-Man, which is a classic comic book character. So he's getting in on the wave of comic book films as well.
Yes, he's riding the wave of superhero movies.
Absolutely. He also directed one of the fake movie trailers in the Grindhouse film. So he's been bouncing around and doing a variety of things.
And then Jessica Stevenson, who co-wrote Spaced with Simon Pegg, and she's now Jessica Hines. She got a cameo role in Shaun of the Dead. She appears very briefly in that. And she's also been in Doctor Who, the new Doctor Who. She was in the two-part episodes from the third series of the new Doctor Who. She was in Human Nature and The Family of Blood, which was a rather cracking two-part episode where she played the sort of nurse matron character at the school, the boys' school. And she had this relationship with David Tennant, and certainly the interrelationship between her and Tennant and the acting together was I thought very memorable and very moving. It's a very good two-parter from the new Doctor Who.
Yeah, she had a very nice performance in that indeed.
She's perhaps done more TV work than the others have. The others seem to have moved into movies, particularly obviously Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. So she's done quite a lot of other TV stuff here in the UK, and she's also recently appeared in a film called Son of Rambo, which was a rather charming film that came out in 2008, directed by Garth Jennings, who also made The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. And that's worth seeing. That's a very good film. Interestingly, Jessica Stevenson did speak out recently. She was in an interview, so I'm not quite sure how much of this is in context, but she did mention that she felt she'd been rather left behind by the others while they'd gone on to their Hollywood careers, and that she hadn't perhaps got the full credit that she had deserved for Spaced, because obviously she co-wrote it. And interestingly, I noticed that Edgar Wright has also criticised some of the publicity that's been done in America, particularly for some of the movies he's been involved with, for not making more of Jessica Stevenson's part in Space than the success of that. So I suspect there was they've made up again.
I think so. Jessica Hines is scheduled to be in The World's End, which is that third film in the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy. And I've heard references that it may be a major role. I'm not entirely sure about that. But there was a mention of that from Jessica Hines and Simon Pegg on a broadcast from the Spaced America tour.
If there was a slight falling out, there appears to be a reconciliation now, and they're all back together and working on the same projects, which is good. So we should talk about what happens next with Spaced, because as we've said, there was no third series, which was a shame, and there's long been a talk that there would be a third series, and it's often been mentioned in interviews by the various creators. But I suspect, as we've already said, that their other careers just keep getting in the way. And as you say, Brian, we'd really need to get all those characters and the director and the production team, they'd all have to come back if it was going to work.
For sure.
I think the latest is the suggestion that there may be some sort of reunion special episode, but I don't think that's actually on the starting blocks yet. It's just been talked about.
Yeah, there has been some loose talk about various things, but nothing at all definite, and it doesn't sound like there's anything that is firmly planned at this point. What Simon Pegg said, and I believe in 2004, was that if they do a third series or a reunion, it would take place when the characters are the age that the actors are now. It wouldn't take place immediately after the second series. It would take place a number of years later. There was also a mention somewhere, I don't know exactly where this came from, that Simon Pegg said that he had in mind to do an ending for Spaced that would be modeled on the end of Blake 7 with a big shootout.
Yes. They'd all shoot each other.
Which I don't know how they'd work that, but I'm sure it would be very amusing.
Just another reference for us.
Yes, absolutely. There was an American remake of Space that was announced in 2007. It didn't get very far. They did make a pilot, which was never aired. And the creators of Space were basically not involved. Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines, Edgar Wright, they just weren't in the picture for the American one. And it was eventually announced that the series was not going to be commissioned. So it sounds like the American version of Space is most likely dead. Almost certainly dead.
It just seemed like a bad idea. Didn't it?
Well, yes, it did. There was an extensive documentary called Skip to the End that was made in 2004 for one of the British DVD sets. It talks about some of their ideas for the characters and includes a brief sort of epilogue with Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson in character as Tim and Daisy when they're a little bit older and obviously in a relationship and they have a baby at that point. So there was that little reference, but as far as we know, what we have of Space now is all there will be.
But if we can't have a third series or a reunion, as you say, we do have that little epilogue, and we also have, I would suggest, perfect ending to series two, where they manage to wrap up a number of plot lines, and they also have a few obstacles to overcome. They have people to get to airports or from railway stations, and it all happens in a few minutes of screen time, and to produce this just fantastic ending, which I have to admit, whenever I watch it, it makes me feel better about the world to watch the ending of the last episode of Spaced. It's a fantastic bit of television.
Yes, they did wrap things up well at the end of Series 2, as they also wrapped things up well at the end of Series 1 for the stage the series was at that point.
Yes, you're quite right. The ending to Series 1 worked very well as well. It's charming and lovely. And then they excelled that. They excelled themselves for the ending of Series 2. And they use a very familiar piece of music to end the second series, which is the music that Cadmium 2 use for their podcast. So you may recognize it from there.
So Cadmium 2, sorry for outing you about the music that you use.
I'm sure they won't mind. I know they're big Spaced fans as well. So our favourite bits, I've already mentioned some. We should talk about the good bits and the bad bits of Spaced, our favourite episodes. Brian?
There are a number of good episodes. There was an episode in the first series that rotated around most of the major characters getting together to rescue a dog that had been kidnapped. And it was quite bizarre and quite odd, but the whole mission they went on and how they did this to rescue this dog that was being held somewhere was really quite amusing. It was a very good episode.
Yes, and we've not even mentioned Colin the dog yet, have we?
Yes, Colin was a major character in his own right, wasn't he?
The rescue, which includes loads of Star Wars references and also references to things like Saving Private Ryan and so on. Yeah, it's a very good episode. Like I said, I love the Matrix episode, which we've discussed at length, which I think we both enjoyed tremendously. There's also an episode in the second series called Metal, which is the sort of RoboCop and then Robot Wars episode, which is fantastic fun.
Yes, that is fun. There was also another episode in the second series that involved people running around and breaking into a building to retrieve a piece of paper that had something written on it, and this whole thing with that. It involved another character who just showed up a couple of times called Tires, and he was a character who was very amusing, who was manic and constantly distracted by everything.
And as you say, with them having to break into this office building, and it just covers every Hollywood heist movie cliche you can think of, really.
Yeah, we can't skip over the fact that they're not just doing the parodies and the pastiches of these different sci-fi shows and pop culture things. They're also parodying all the cliches of things that happen in every bank heist movie or every war movie and so on and so forth. And those are really fun. They did those very well.
Absolutely, yes. You know, we keep talking about the Star Wars references. There's a lovely recurring joke in the second series about Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, which obviously came out between the first and second series of Space. Tim, the Simon Pegg's character Tim, shares, I think, a lot of fans' disappointment with The Phantom Menace, and it's much is made of his disappointment with that film throughout the series.
Yes, the moment of him screaming at a small child about Jar Jar was quite amusing.
And then it all builds up to the last two episodes, which we've talked about quite a bit already. The penultimate episode ends in the Empire Strikes Back scene, which just, I think, you know, as well as being amusing and moving, it just sort of reminds us how good the end of Empire Strikes Back was. And then it leads us to the final episode, which I've talked about already.
Yes. I don't think you can quite picture how their pastiche of the end of The Empire Strikes Back worked and how it looked until you've actually seen it. It was quite something.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So I guess we should talk about the negative points of Spaced as well. When I first started looking at Spaced, which was not long ago, it took me a little while to get into it, mainly because in a lot of the episodes, nothing really happens. A lot of the episodes tend to be about the characters and about the jokes and about them procrastinating and about them not doing things. And it took me a while to get into the mindset of appreciating that, because at first I was watching it and thinking, well, this is not bad, but nothing's happening. The more I watched it, the more I got into that, then saw that, yeah, that's how it works, is a lot of the time nothing is happening, but it's all about the characters and the references and all these details, and still really stands on its own.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, certainly in the first series, very little seems to happen, and these characters are, as I keep saying, they are sort of slackers, particularly Daisy, who will do anything to avoid having to sit in front of a typewriter and actually start using it.
Except for the one episode where they rescue Colin the dog.
Yes, that's right. There may be little happening in each individual episode, but the characters, as we've said, the chemistry between the characters is just charming, and that keeps us going. And then the references, as we start to spot more and more references, that I think starts to attract our attention.
Absolutely.
I think there may be, I don't know if what you felt, Brian, but there may be a problem that some of the references, when it strays away from either films or from genre stuff, that some of the references may be a bit British, and particularly the references to children's TV from the UK in the 70s and 80s.
That's true in some cases, and there are some things that are just a little bit obscure, or just things that you may not have seen or may not remember very well, which brings us nicely to a feature that they have on some of the DVD releases, certainly the American Region 1 release and the Complete Series Region 2 release, which is what they call the homage-o-meter, which is basically a set of subtitles that you can turn on your DVD player that identify all of the references as they happen. And the subtitles go on quite frequently. So I actually quite liked watching the series with the homage-o-meter subtitles turned on.
Yes, I'd recommend them as well. They're great fun. And they pick up nearly all of the references that are in there. I think one or two do slip through the net and don't show up on the homage-o-meter, but that may just depend on what you've seen in the past. I noticed a couple of Thunderbirds, the Gerry Anderson marionette series, a couple of Thunderbirds references slipped past the homage-o-meter.
Welcome home, Miss Steiner.
They arrived just before you did.
You Landau. Take a seat, Miss Steiner. And let us not have a repeat of our last encounter. You're beginning to try my patience. We have the bag, Miss Steiner.
I didn't know I had.
So the availability of the DVDs, over here in the UK, we have what was at the time called the Definitive Collector's Edition of the two series with the extras on a Region 2 DVD. And that's been out here for some time, and at the moment is going on Amazon for about £10, so quite reasonable.
And I believe that set has more features than the individual sets of Series 1 and Series 2, which may still be kicking around.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There is also now finally a Region 1 set available in the United States and Canada, which came out in 2008 after this Space America tour that we talked about. It sells for about $40 on Amazon.com, but it has been available for less at different times. It includes all of the features from the Region 2 collector's set, and it also includes some new commentaries from fans who are big names in Hollywood, particularly Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino, are both Spaced fans, and they have commentaries on this. in addition to the original commentaries. So every episode on the Region 1 set has two commentaries on it.
And our recommendations? I think you can tell how we're going to go. I would give this one a solid recommendation. I think it's a fantastic show. It just about creeps into the British Invaders sort of genre because of all the references. And particularly with the second series, it's just one of the funniest things that's been on British TV in the last sort of 10 or 15 years.
Yes, I will recommend this as well. Like I say, it took me a little while to get into it at the beginning because it wasn't what I was expecting, but it's solid comedy and the references are great, so definitely I'll recommend it as well. So, in summary, Spaced was a British sitcom that ran for two series, and it was about half a dozen characters living in or near this one house where they would have all kinds of adventures and procrastination and go in classic comedy style and farcical style, and sketch comedy elements were incorporated as well. And it had a great deal in terms of references to all kinds of sci-fi and genre and non-genre shows. It has become a classic because of this.
It's great stuff, as we've said. It's really worth checking out if you're into science fiction and geek references. You'll love it.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search for British Invaders, we have a group there where we have discussions about space and other things we've covered. So join us there, and we can talk about some of these series. Next time on British Invaders, we will be doing our first double topic. We'll be talking about the War Game from 1965 and also Threads from 1984. These are two speculative documentaries that also have definite science fiction elements to them. They are both about the potential of nuclear war and the human costs of nuclear war, both very much tied to the Cold War era.
So we're moving away from the comedy of space to something far more serious and slightly more grim next time, but certainly very, very interesting.
Yes, both of those are somewhat depressing, but also very, very impressive and well-made pieces of film that are quite interesting in their own right. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
And this is Eamon from England saying goodbye.